Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
The following is a Breaks Media podcast.
Now listening to the best podcast in the world, The Awakened Soul, hosted by my dad.
Welcome to the 92nd episode of The Awakened Soul. I'm your host, CEO Hayes, and we have Andrew Bello back in the building this week to discuss some politics, and we ended on some Captain Marvel talk and just some MCU discussion in general, just about some speculation about where we see everything going with Endgame being right around the corner. For any first-time listeners, this is The Awakened Soul. You can follow the podcast at The Awakened Soul. You can also follow me at CEO Hayes. And you can also email us, theawakensoulpod@gmail.com. We are part of the Breaks Media, which is the premier podcast network, media company in general that you will find, because we're not just podcasting. We have written blogs. We got everything. Go to thebreaksmedianetwork.com. As I said, we do have Andrew Bello back in the building making his return to The Awakened Soul. We also have Scoop Grady, PYTiana, the whole The Awakened Soul crew is back this week. I know last week I kind of held the fort down by myself. It's good to have the whole team back on. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to get into our intro music. After that is going to be the End of Mine Hayes segment. I will see you beautiful and lovely people on the other side of this. Welcome to the End of Mine Hayes segment. This is my personal segment where I just get stuff off my chest that's going on in the world over the course of the week. And there's only one thing in the End of Mine Hayes segment. It's going to be fairly short because a lot of what I would normally talk about, me and Bello actually talk about when we discuss politics, and that is this R. Kelly interview. I know podcasts of color, a lot of podcasts in general are going to be discussing it, but I want to kind of attack it from a different standpoint. And I think that when you see this interview and then you see the two women that are actually listed as victims in the current case that he's going on, but now are in a relationship with him, it really puts into perspective everything that was said in the Survivor R. Kelly documentary. I think that saying that he's a manipulator, saying how he brainwashes these young women, it was all put on display there. And we're not even going to get yet into the R. Kelly part himself. I wanted to talk about that because when you see these two young women there defending R. Kelly with the way that they did, as strongly as they did, it makes you sad. It makes you also sad for their parents. He's played whatever issues that they had going on with their family against the women, to where that they now feel that he's all that they have to rest in. And it was made obvious. So for me personally, and you guys can tell me if you guys feel differently, seeing that portion of the video just made almost any theatrics he did during it just mean even less. So they didn't mean anything when I saw him anyway. But seeing that, because it's evident what's going on. And as far as with R. Kelly and the crying and the theatrics that he pulled with Gayle King, he's really just trying to jussy the whole situation up. And that is something I'm going to start using, is that he sat there on this interview and he tried to gain sympathy for something that it's not. It's all clearly a show, at least in my opinion. When looking at that, the tears, the standing up, the getting loud, the you're fighting for your life. Like, I'm sorry. If it turns out that none of this is true and I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to admit it. But seeing him on the stage and doing what he did, it was a performance. It was a terrible acting job. And that's just how I took it. He's trying to con and gain sympathy. And it's made even worse when, the daycare owner is the one who bailed him out of jail. Then he was back in jail for back child support. Another mysterious woman paid that for him and got him out of jail. So this whole manipulizing of stuff that R. Kelly does is very evident in what's going on today. It makes everything, like I said, in that documentary, it's all being shown in even more of a light when you see this. It came out that he only had $300,000 in the bank, which I would gladly take that, as I know many of the listeners would. But everything that's going on around him, all of this shit, like I'm never happy necessarily to see someone have to go to jail. But in this case, I'm happy that all this facade, all this bull crap is just being taken down, tore down, and R. Kelly's being exposed as the creep he's been for decades. Again, my personal opinion, I've always said on this show, I know I share my opinion, but it's a living conversation. I want to know how you guys feel about it. If you disagree with me, if you think I'm coming at him too hard, if you guys think I'm way off basis. But for me, just seeing that just showed what a master manipulator can do and how they try to operate when they're being exposed. So that's my opinion. That's the only thing in the In the Mind of Hayes segment. Like I said, a lot of what I wanted to talk about this week, I get to talk with my good friend Andrew Bello. So be around to check out that segment. We're going to go ahead and take another break. We're going to get into the unpopular opinion from PY Tiana. I will catch you guys after that.
Good morning to y'all. Happy Monday to you. How y'all feeling this morning? It's a brand new week, y'all. Let's set it off with an unpopular opinion.
So y'all ever have somebody approach y'all and say, "How you doing?" And then you proceed to actually tell them how you doing, and they looking at you crazy as hell, and you might even sense them kind of drift off in the never never land. They ass ain't listening to you not a little bit. Well, that is my unpopular opinion. You see, people really don't want to hear how you doing. People really don't mean half the shit that come out their mouth. We live in a society where we just say things for the sake of saying them. Somebody will walk into a room full of people and say good morning with an attitude. How the hell you say good morning with an attitude? Not even realizing that you're saying good morning. See, nobody really wants to know how you feeling or how you doing. It's just something that we say. It's just normalized. We're supposed to ask you how you doing. We really don't care how you doing at all. So you have to be careful when you're going around sharing stuff with people. I say this because so often we like to vent to people. People that really don't give a damn about how we feeling, how we doing, or what our well-being is at the time. I found you have to find a really good friend that actually gives a damn about you if you feel like venting. A therapist if you feel like venting. A counselor if you feel like venting. Because 99.99% of the people that you run into could really care less if your ass jumped off a bridge or not. And in all fairness, people got their own problems. So don't nobody want you running up to them randomly and just giving them your whole spiel on what's all going wrong in your life just because they asked you how you was doing. Y'all, Facebook don't want to hear your problems either. Let me go ahead on and throw that out there. Because we love to get on Facebook and put all our business out there for the world to see. And then got the nerves enough to get upset when people discuss the very same business that we involved them in. People don't care, y'all. So be careful who you share your feelings and your innermost thoughts with. Because most people just waiting to go and tell somebody what it is that you got going on or laugh in your goddamn face soon as you walk away. I mean, probably holding in the giggles while you standing there just pouring your little heart out, poor little thing. See, I learned how to take my problems to God. See, I lay down and I talk about them and we work them out. Even got me a therapist for the loop. Talk to them if I can't talk to nobody else. Got a few solid ass friends that I bring my issues to. But never to strangers that really don't give a damn about me no more than a man on the moon. See, we use the term friend too loosely. And we give people this zition. Yeah, I said zition, not position, but zition. In our life. And they don't deserve it. They don't deserve to know what all our innermost thoughts is. And they ain't gonna even give you no solid feedback anyway. You gonna have to tap them and tell them you're done talking when you finish. That's how much attention they not paying to your ass. I say all that to say this, y'all. Don't be a vent of Andros. Be careful who you vent to. Because 99.99% of the people you run into on the day-to-day really don't give a damn.
And that's all I have to say about that. This has been Unpopular Opinion with me, P.Y. Tiana, the Around Intellectual Girl. Follow at Official ATL Girl on all social media outlets and subscribe on YouTube at Around Intellectual Girl. You got unpopular opinions? I want to know like Joe. Send them to aroundintellectualgirl@gmail.com. I'm serving up hot morning tea 7 days a week. You need a morning push? You know where to find me. Happy Monday to you.
Hey guys, it's your girl Beck Easy.
Hi everybody, it's your girl Joanne.
Hey guys, it's Trell and this is
The Team.
And we want to welcome you into our group chat,
where we talk any and everything from ABCs of sex to finding your passion.
Catch us every other Tuesday on Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and YouTube.
Because we lit.
Take that, take that.
Damn.
Alright, that was the unpopular opinion from PYT. Anna, I want to know, who do you guys vent to when you need to? Since that was the topic there, I guess I'll post that on the Awakened Soul Twitter page and probably the Breaks Media Twitter page as well. Who do you vent to? PYT Tiana, as she said there, she vents to God. I think I'm kind of like that. I don't know. But who do you guys vent to when you need to vent? Is it to God? Is it to yourself? Is it to your dog? People vent to all different kind of things. What's your venting and coping mechanism? I guess that's a good question. That's a good unpopular opinion. Good discussion topic as well. I may have to pick that up myself one day. We're going to go ahead. We're going to get into another musical break. I'm on the other side of that. It's going to be the petty news from the one and only Scoop Grady. I will see you guys after that.
Yo, what up, everybody? Scoop Grady once again with the Petty News Report. What is going on, everybody out there? First of all, I want to give a shout out to the Inside Scoop first live podcast show, y'all. We killed that motherfucker. Everybody came out. They showed up. They showed out. And I want to thank everybody that came out, that supported us. Shout out to Oversaturated Podcast for hosting the show for us. They did an incredible job, y'all. Shout out to all the podcast shows that was there, from Call of Duty Black Dad Podcast, from even Through the Glass Podcast, to Television Talented that was also there, and everybody that was there. You know what I'm saying? We kicked it, we ate good, took shots all night, man. So everybody, make sure y'all tune into the show. We definitely gonna put that up on YouTube and everything else. Let's get right into it though. Please make sure y'all say a prayer for George Foreman. He lost his daughter at the age of 42 years old. She was found in her house in Texas, dead. They haven't figured out what it was, but I'm just getting sick and tired of everybody found in their house dead, man. This is ridiculous. I don't know what's going on, but it's a bunch of BS, man. This sucks that somebody that's so young, 42 is not old, everybody. You people, we are just losing so many people at an early age, man. This stuff got to stop, man. So once again, make sure we say a prayer for George Foreman and his family and keep his head held high for everything, you know what I'm saying? So next. R. Kelly bonded out of jail once again, everybody. R. Kelly paid $160,000 and back child support to get released from jail. For everybody that thought this man don't have money, he is telling y'all. He is doing fine. He got money. He playing a lot of mind games with everybody. That's what I feel like it is. It's a bunch of mind games. R. Kelly, with the whole interview, I think it was fake. I really don't think he was really, like, crying or anything. It was great acting. You know what I'm saying? He gets an Oscar for that. But people, pay attention to what's going on, because he's telling us he's fucking up in his interview. He's fucking up in his interviews. He's fucking up in a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? Like, every time he talk on the microphone, he just let us know every time that he does something stupid. Next, Nick Cannon got on social media and said, when we gonna see the surviving of Harvey Weinstein? You know what, Nick Cannon, I agree 100%, you know what I'm saying? With everything that's going on, we are showing a lot of black people that has been doing negative things. And we're not going to take that from none of them. They deserve to be put in jail. There should be justice and everything. But let's not forget, okay? Let's not just look at it as if black people doing crazy things out here. It's a lot of white people. And I'm not trying to make it a race thing, but they are really going at a lot of people that are African American. And goddamn it, it's time to go at every race, okay? From Elvis Presley to Harvey Weinstein. You know what I'm saying? It's so many people out there. Let's not forget, y'all. It's not just black people out here that's doing crazy stuff. But at the same time, if you look at it, they are trying to get their TV ratings up. They're trying to get that money. And that's what it's all about, I feel. It's not about respect, dignity, and morals. It's about money, and that's what they're doing. So they figure if they get black people on TV, if they get black people interviews, they gonna know we're gonna act a damn fool and we're gonna make a fool of ourselves. But goddamn it, no, that's not what it's about. Let's get justice for everybody, for every race, for every culture. You know the nonsense is happening, so don't hide it. Let's fix it and let's move the hell on. And last but not least, the petty question of the week is, as you see all these celebrities, all these people that are out here on the carnival experience in these amazing outfits, you know what I'm saying, from Ashanti, oh my goodness, Ashanti, to Lil' Kim, to a Rihanna, you know what I'm saying? The question I have is this the time where females act ratchet? Is this the only time women feel like this is the time where they can just be that type of ratchet and be just loose out here in the world? That is the petty question of the week. Is this the only time women decides to be ratchet on these carnival experiences, where they can let loose, be free, and just be naughty as they want to be? And that is all we have for the petty news. Thank you all for listening. Continue to follow Wicked Soul. And thank you all for following The Inside Scoop. Like I said before, we just had our first podcast show. And make sure y'all be cool and put some deodorant under y'all armpits.
Yo, this your boy Flaw 700.
What's good, everybody? It's your guy Fresco.
And we are the podcast brothers.
Dig?
Yeah. Hey, what is our show about, actually?
Our show is about a little bit of everything, man. It's not just one thing, but it's a little bit it is.
Right. It's
a
like
a little bit of that.
Oh, my goodness. Nah.
You like that song?
No, not from you. What song is that?
I don't know.
It don't matter. It doesn't matter what song that is.
Well, that's what our show is about. It's about two brothers kicking the shit.
Real life brothers.
Real life brothers. Obviously not by choice.
And if you know how brothers get down, you know how we give it up. We don't agree on nothing.
And that's what it's like on a podcast show. It makes for a healthy debate, makes for good dialogue, and it keeps the interest and the listener interested as well, because it's real brotherly shit.
Episodes drop every Sunday.
Every Sunday, every platform you can get a podcast at, the Podcast Brothers is there. You dig?
Chill.
And that was Scoop Grady with the petty news. It is now time to get into the discussion topic of the week. Me and Andrew Bello, we talk some politics, and then we take a break. We get into some Captain Marvel. So this one's going to be a fun one for any of you guys who really don't like hearing politics, because I know some of it goes over some people's head. We don't go super in depth, more so our reactions to some of the news rather than break it down like we do sometimes. So stay for that conversation. Please do. If not, definitely listen to the Captain Marvel review, because that's one of me and Bella's favorite things to do. We talk Marvel movies, and if you guys saw our text message log, it's a lot of Marvel talking there. So we're bringing that to you guys on the podcast this week. We're going to get into some music, as we tend to do around here, and on the other side of that, it's the discussion topic of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, look who's back in the building. The Andrew Bello has finally made his return back to the Awakened Soul. Mr. Woke, Andrew Bello, which is a nickname that you got here from the Awakened Soul. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Always happy to be here on the Awakened Soul. It's a second home away from home, essentially, in my podcasting world. So I'm growing, as we'll, I'm sure, talk about at some point. I'll throw all my plugs in at the end of the show. But yeah, the Awakened Soul is sort of where my political podcasting career started. And you, sir, are the one who got me started in the podcasting world in general. So it's always it's a pleasure and an honor to be here, man.
Oh, man. Anytime. I love talking to you in general. So we got politics, we got Marvel stuff. It's like the best of both worlds that we got to discuss. But before we get into that, I do want to talk. You have a new podcast Finally, I've been waiting. Like, when you sent me the text that you started this podcast, you should have saw the fucking shit-eating grin on my face, because I've been waiting for this. The Cancel This podcast, political podcast, from Andrew Bello. We've been waiting on this, man. What made you finally pull the trigger?
You know, I was really sitting around. I've been watching a lot of the news, and I've been kind of, this is something I've been in the works for a while now. And I, in the last couple of months, even started just typing up notes on like a weekly basis as things were coming across the news cycle. I'm like, okay, this would be a good topic for this, this, that, and the other thing. And I did that for like 2 or 3 weeks before I realized I should have just been recording shows doing this already. So one weekend or last weekend, I decided to just sit down and do it. With the DNC primary coming up, I needed to get this thing rolling, because that's going to provide so much content. It's ridiculous. So just that alone, I wanted to kind of get it off the ground. Luckily, have you know, great people in the podcasting biz, yourself and Billy Ray and Bin Hameen and Big Ray and all the guys that that I've had the pleasure of working with over time. And they kind of got the word out as well. So we're off to a decent start, and hopefully we'll keep it going from there.
That's what's up. That was a great first episode. I don't know if you've dropped, as of we're recording now, dropped episode 2 or not.
Yeah, episode. I guess it's, yeah, technically we're, the last week was kind of the pilot episode. So episode 1 is up right now on cancelthispodcast.podbean.com or on iTunes. You just search Cancel This, and I'm the first thing that pops up. And I mean, as I was telling you, this is not your bipartisan objective political podcast. Like, make no mistake about it. I've left those things in the rearview mirror at this point in time. If you want the opposite opinion, look no further than CNN or MSNBC. But if you're looking for the opposite of that, the Cancel This political podcast is the podcast for you.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is too, is that you don't have to be bipartisan. This is your opinion. So I mean, fuck
exactly.
It. Like, give it your opinion. That's something I've had to. Like, I like having both opinions displayed on the podcast. That's why I love having you on. That's why I love having Billy Ray Valentine on. People who are just not afraid to give their opinion and be honest with their opinion. That's what makes it worth listening to. Like, if I'm just trying to give a opposing view that I really don't believe in, it's going to come off as disingenuous. So there you go.
Exactly. And I'll try to be fair when it's going to be fair. It's not going to be, you know, 100% pro Trump all the time. I do certainly have disagreements with them. And when I have them, I will point them out, as well as any other political, you know, people out there, any politicians, or for that matter, we're not keeping just the politics either, you know, culture, you know, social media, things along those lines are definitely going to be targets and subjects as we move along.
Social media, man, that's, you know what, let's not even go down it, because at this point, it's not even social media, like, it's so much censorship on all that shit now, like,
yeah,
it's crazy, like, do you agree, like, Twitter is almost the most unbiased place to be on social media?
It's close to it, definitely. It depends on your viewership. Actually, I talk a lot about this on this week's episode, so tune in if you want to hear that. But I was talking a lot about the Tim Pool conversation with Jack Dorsey and Vijay Gotti on the Joe Rogan Experience last week, and they were pretty forthcoming. Jack, for the most part, was very understanding of Tim's concerns and in regards to the censorship and the biases that might be built into the program. But if you're out there, you can turn off their algorithms, or at least supposedly, by just clicking, you know, getting the latest tweets as opposed to the hottest tweets or whatever the case may be. And then you actually get things that are coming into your timeline in real time, as opposed to what they have configured should be something that you should see at the top of your timeline. But as far as that's concerned, I feel like they are giving way, where places like Facebook and maybe Instagram, I'm sort of out of the Instagram loop, but I know Facebook in particular, they're kind of going the opposite way with it, where they're making no bones about how we're shutting shit down and this is the way it is, and we're Facebook, do something about it.
All right. Yeah. I agree. Like, it's that bitch of a place of Facebook. Let's not even do it. Let's not even do it. But so to get on the topics that we have for today, the first one, the state of emergency, Trump getting his wall built. As it stands right now, I believe the Senate is prepared to rebuke the state of emergency. Trump is, of course, going to veto it. So I don't. It's not really much to talk about there, because I think that timeline of exactly how this goes was laid out by Trump when he declared the state of emergency. It's going exactly the way that he said it was going to go. So do you think that, like, all this talk, the states that have sued over it, that are trying to block it? Is it all just delaying the inevitable, basically, is what's happening?
I think so. I think at the end of the day, like you said, he's going to veto it. So all this vote has just been for show for the most part. More importantly than that, and you know how I like to kind of twist things, and that Trump is some sort of mastermind here. I don't know that this is him necessarily as much as people that he's talking to, people in his circles. But they've already arranged it in such a way where by the time the Democrats get to suing over this money that's supposedly going to be designated as a result of the enactment of the National Emergency Act of 1976, in accordance with a couple other subordinances in there, he's going to be able to move money for military projects, which is going to ultimately just be a wall at the end of the day. But he's already got other monies in place that have already been signed off and passed by Congress in some of the budget bills over the last couple of years. He's going to start using all of that money first. And then by the time the money actually gets spent from the result of the state of emergency, and they start suing for that, like, the hundreds of miles of wall will have already been built. And at that point, it'll be just counterproductive to cut it off. If you built 3/4 of a wall, why wouldn't you just finish the damn thing for whatever it's going to cost at that point, the couple of billion dollars he's going to have to move around? So I think in that sort of way, the sequence in which the money has been spent on this wall, he's going to get it come hell or high water, because by the time they get to the last $2 billion, it'll make no sense to not just finish the project.
And recently it came out that he's going to actually ask for an additional $8.6 billion as well. So that's going to be a whole nother fight coming.
Yes.
So it's just going to start, this whole process is just going to start over again. Whether you believe that the wall should or shouldn't be built, there does need to be something done about border security. I think that people are so against fighting the wall that's kind of missed there, that something does need to be done. I personally, you know me, I'm a tech head. So the idea of more technology and monitoring does, of course, interest me. I haven't seen a plan in place that I can agree with that I think is feasible. Just the idea of that, I would like to think that some form of technology can be done than a physical wall. But either way, something does need to be done. And I think that the hate of Trump and everything is kind of losing sight of something needs to be done about border security.
Absolutely. And even with the technology, I mean, I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't use those things as well. But the physical barrier seems to be the easiest solution. It's the most cost effective to put in all the infrastructure that you would need for a technological wall, whatever that means, whether it be everything from a force field to an electric, like a dog, like an electric fence kind of gimmick, however they want to work it. I mean, there is still going to be infrastructure that you need to put in place to set up the sensors, to set up points for drones to be able to calculate where they are basically along the wall and ultimately detect people coming across the border. So as rudimentary as it might be, the wall is probably the least the most cost effective way to go about it. I mean, we're talking about, at this point, $5.7 billion, I think was the number a little while back that he said he needed. He got a little bit of in the budget this year, and the rest of it he's going to try to make up for with the state of emergency that he's got going right now. But I mean, just in relation to what it costs taxpayers, the wall would be paid for in months, not even weeks even. I mean, just in the state of California alone, these are statistics from fairus.org. In the state of California alone, a year, it's a $25 billion state deficit to the country, the cost of illegal immigrants through education, healthcare, law, justice and law enforcement, public assistance, and then general government services. At an average legal Californian household, it costs them $2,350 in taxes every year to make up for what amounts to 11% of the population in California is considered illegal citizens and their children, dreamers, if you will. So, I mean, that's a considerable debt to the society. And if you can stop in order to keep the ship afloat, you got to start plugging the leaks before you can start redirecting, where the ship is going at the end of the day. So, to stop the influx that appears to be at an all-time high right now, or at least on track to be relatively high. And certainly compared to last year, we have three times more illegals being caught at the border at this time as this year. And they're coming in at ports of entry and they're filling out the paperwork and they're doing it the right way. They are more than welcome. But once you start your relationship with America by breaking a federal law, it's not a good indicator for where you're going to be as a citizen long term.
I don't think it could have been said any better. And I think that's the thing, too, is that it's so much that we're painting people with these broad strokes of black and white. Either it's, oh, you hate all immigrants, you just don't want immigrants to come in. And it's like, for a lot of people, it is about coming in the right way and not sneaking in, which, okay, I can understand that. I am against, like, the idea of just not having immigrants come in at all to America, but that's not really what, for most people, the issue is. I think you do have some of those radicals that do think that, whether they say it out loud or not. I don't want to act like it's not a thing, but we need to stop painting in such broad strokes, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, this country is founded on immigrants, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we're all immigrants to this continent. But at the end of the day, we are still a country. In order to have a country, there needs to be some sort of barrier put up, not necessarily a physical wall so much as a boundary. You know, if you don't have a border, you don't necessarily have a country. We'd just be a one world, you know, just kind of free roaming nomadic society where you could just come and go as you please. We all know that's not how it is. And we all know that's not how it should be at the end of the day. And so, you know, putting up a wall, if that's what it takes to at least get people to come in through the proper entry, proper ports of entry. That's, you know, seems to unfortunately be where we're at.
All right. Well, enough said on that one. Do you have anything left to add on that? Back to the, I know we started talking about the border wall specifically a lot, but anything left on the state of emergency or where you see it going or anything else before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of hate on social media about, oh, Trump's doing this. What? Oh, I thought we were in the middle of a state of emergency. And, you know, you see this kind of like comments all over the place. And yeah, unfortunately, we are at the point now to where this is a state of emergency because one half of Congress basically is just willing to completely ignore the problem because of their disdain for the president. And the other half is trying to do something. And you know, unfortunately, that half isn't enough to get the votes through in order to fund it the right way. But because it's not being funded the right way, and it's most definitely a problem. No matter, you know, we could talk about how big the problem is, but it is a problem at the end of the day, having the influx of illegal immigrants that we have, particularly on the southern border. And hey, if they were coming from the northern border, screw you, Canadians, stay up there and you know, on your side of it. But that's not where the problem is. And, you know, to suggest otherwise is just sort of being ignorant to the real problem at the end of the day. So it is an emergency. Whether or not Trump manages to squeeze in 18 holes of golf somewhere along the way, it still is an emergency. There have been plenty of emergencies that have been around that you know, didn't merit the president's 100% attention all the time. And this is one of them.
All right. Well, moving into the next one that definitely got Trump's attention. Well, we're going to go into the Cohen testimony, but I do have on the list first the Mueller report. Just off the sense that I think that I wanted to talk about this because a lot of people see this report as it's going to be the smoking gun that's needed to impeach Trump. And by all intents and purposes, just looking at the way that it may not be. And I mean, yes, it's going to be made public, parts of it. But the attorney general, it's really at his discretion, at least I found out from my research, how much he makes known to the public. Is that correct?
Yeah, it sounds like he's in charge of Mueller still technically at the end of the day. So he would have some sort of clearance over him on that front.
OK. And so just the fact that this is being made public, like I said, everyone is looking at it as the smoking gun. The Democrats seem to now be getting things in place and they're doing that probe on Trump, maybe because they don't believe fully or they're just trying to have a contingency plan. But what does it worry you at all? Because as of right now, until something comes out, I'm just looking at this as like, it's just something people are clinging on to. I don't have high hopes for it personally. If some crazy details come out to it, more power to it. But I just don't see it as going to be a big thing personally.
Yeah, this is going to be a big fat nothing burger. People, I don't know how long I've been saying it, how long I've been thinking it, but I mean, this is, as we're getting closer and closer to the report actually being unveiled, what I'm worried about is, on one hand, I'm a huge fan of transparency and I want it all to be released because I know not a word of it says that Donald Trump colluded with any sort of Russians whatsoever. There's no evidence to suggest that. And if there were, it would have been leaked by now because virtually everything of significance has been leaked for the last 2 years from this White House. So, if there was, it was coming out by now. It's not there. And that's what they're worried about now. At this point, they're trying to suggest that they want it all out there. But what'll happen is it'll be dumped on us. It'll be a lot of redactions all over the place because In one hand, I want everyone to see the evidence because I know it's not there. But on the other hand, what it's going to turn into is that the Mueller report is going to be a political hit piece from top to bottom, in Mueller patting himself on the back about how much he's doing and how many bad guys he put away, and Paul Manafort and George Papadopoulos and Carter Page and 12 Russian hackers that were doing Facebook memes or whatever it is. And it's going to be a lot about that stuff. There's going to be a lot about these supposed salacious things having to do with Trump, like things that are just going to be put in there explicitly to embarrass Donald Trump, even though the bottom line on the bottom of the report is going to say we found no evidence of collusion, which is what's going to matter. But it won't be what matters in that news cycle because of some other stupid detail about some stupid shit he did in a hotel in Russia in like 1984.
Sorry. It's funny.
Sorry.
No,
that's a lot of bomb.
No, you know, you're funny because it's true. Like in the whole no collusion part, if that is what comes out from it, it'll be glossed over because everybody will want to focus on, well, he paid two prostitutes in Russia 18 years ago.
Yeah. And well, I mean, I talk about this on the show this week as well, is that they've already moved on. If you pay really close attention to the news cycle and to the Democrats, they've already moved past Russian collusion. You rarely hear it anymore, except from the presidential candidates who want to just keep Hillary Clinton's memory alive in some way, shape, or form. But you get now they're doing this two-pronged attack. So on one prong, they want all of his financial records and the financial records of everybody who's ever done business with him based on no suggestion of a specific crime. They want to just go and look through all the paperwork in search of a crime, which is, as we know, not how a fair and legal justice system presides over things. And then on the other end, they want to push towards obstruction of justice. And there is already a litany of evidence to suggest that him firing James Comey and anything else that he's done since then is not an obstruction of justice. And you can ask people who would probably love nothing more than to be able to say that Donald Trump obstructed justice, and Andy McCabe and Jim Baker, who was the former lead attorney for the FBI. James Comey himself has said that Trump told him to investigate his campaign in case there was people who might be doing some bad things with the Ruskies. So and Jim Baker also said that Donald Trump was told explicitly that he was not under investigation. So how would you possibly obstruct justice in a case that has nothing to do with you, that you don't even know is going on? It's nonsense. So those are the angles that they're going to push in the media. But just like the Russian collusion, they got nothing.
And I want this to be said. I know you've said it on the Awakened Soul before. So, you know, me and you are clear there. But for anyone who's just now listening, because you've said strongly before, if there is any proof of collusion, Trump needs to go to jail.
Absolutely. Impeachment, jail, President Mike Pence, all of it. Yeah. I mean, that's what needs to happen. But I don't believe that that's the case. I don't doubt that there were people in his campaign who were manipulated, who were new to the political scene, that just happened to get a job in the Trump organization because no one else would work with Trump, and they might have had connections. Paul Manafort, for one, absolutely had ties to Russia, absolutely had ties to the Ukraine, whether or not they were in any way, shape, or form there to benefit the Trump campaign. I feel like it was probably far more to benefit the pockets of Paul Manafort than it was to help Donald Trump directly. And I'm sure Donald Trump didn't know what was going on there because he would have fired Paul Manafort, which he ultimately did anyway. And, you know, like I said, from the beginning, I mean, I think it's all a hoax. Evidence that I've looked upon and read, and Dan Bongino wrote a whole book on this conspiracy to essentially stop Donald Trump from becoming president and to spy on his campaign. You know, Barack Obama and Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, all that whole Obama administration, the whole Clinton campaign and the DOJ, all in conjunction spying on the Trump campaign through peripheral people like George Papadopoulos and Carter Page. And whether or not any of that ever comes to light and any of them ever see any justice on that, I'm not optimistic about that, even though I think there is evidence to suggest that it could be proven. But I'm far more convinced that Donald Trump is not in any way, shape, or form in collusion with the Russians. And I hope this report comes out soon and proves me right once and for all.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's it. You know how people like to paint Trump supporters as unfair or blind. So I just really wanted to point out the fact for anyone who didn't listen to our previous conversation that you will be there on the front line.
Oh, yeah.
if
he's, oh man, he will have duped no one harder than me. I will feel about terrible as anybody about it.
Yeah. Well, the last thing we have with politics before we get into the fun thing, get to talk some Captain Marvel.
the Cohen testimony. We're not going to go and review the whole thing. That's already been done. But with your opposition of being a Trump supporter, I just wanted to, I figured this would be a cool question to ask you. What you found most shocking coming out of that, if you found anything shocking, and does any of it concern you at all as a Trump supporter?
A little more than the Russian stuff, like definitely way more than the Russian stuff, because, well, I mean, what we're dealing with here, a lot of the campaign finance situation in the Southern District in New York, which is a completely separate investigation altogether, has a lot to do with payoffs like Stormy Daniels and things along those lines. Michael Cohen appears to be cooperating with the authorities on this one. And at the end of the day, I think Trump will probably get nabbed for this. Like, I think he'll probably be found guilty of it if and when it happens during his actual presidency is, I guess, questionable, because I don't even know that they could prosecute a sitting president. There's no real precedent for that. But I think he'll probably get nabbed for it. It'll be a fine. It won't be jail time. What he did was relatively innocent compared to other finance issues in the past. I mean, basically, we're dealing with a guy who almost fully funded his own campaign, and he basically just took money from one pool, put it in another, and then paid the first pool back. All of it's really his money at the end of the day. It's far less dirty than they want to make it out to be. But you know, that sort of stuff, I think there is going to be some legal ramifications for him. I don't think it'll be anything incredibly serious. It'll probably be a fine, something, you know, around $1 million or two, whatever the highest fine is for that. And I think Obama had the one before that, which was relatively insignificant. And as we know, no one talks about that. So, but moving on from the testimony itself, the most shocking thing in the whole ordeal was that the notorious AOC managed to actually string together a couple of coherent sentences. I was very proud of her. But I mean, I can't really take any of this testimony seriously. At the end of the day, the guy has already perjured himself. And it's now been rumored that even in this testimony, he may have perjured himself a few more times on top of it. He's a liar on top of a liar. And yeah, I know Donald Trump has a little difficulty with the truth at times as well. Donald Trump has not been asked to be a serious witness in the serious prosecution of any actual crimes yet. So when that day comes, we can dump on whether or not he lives in a world of reality or just outright hyperbole. And we'll see that hopefully play out on a witness stand if and when that actually takes place. But I'm not all that shocked by some of the things he said. He doesn't have any proof for any of the most salacious things that he said. The racism charges obviously being pretty big. The way that he claims Donald Trump speaks about black people behind the scenes. I would figure of all the things that he would be recording of anybody, that would probably be something that he would have gotten on tape. And he claims to not have that on tape. So I have to call that into question. The timing of the hearings is really what bothered me the most, though, with Trump overseas trying to negotiate a deal with Kim Jong-un in Vietnam about nuclear proliferation. There used to be like a longstanding tradition in the country where the president, when he was overseas, we would at least pretend to have a united front back here at home and in Congress and in the House. And that clearly has been thrown out the window. Now, I'm not suggesting this is the first time that's ever happened, but in this case, dealing with the issues that he's dealing with, everyone knowing that the Democrats want nothing more than for him to fail miserably at every turn, regardless of whether or not it's good for the country, and then having this testimony. Yeah, I'm sure Trump was up watching it all night. Like, everyone seemed to think that was odd, you know, that he would be watching this testimony when it's obviously he would want to know what's said, because it may very well come up during the negotiations that he's sitting across the table from a tyrannical dictator with nuclear weapons. He's trying to smooth that problem out, but now he's got to deal with Michael Cohen, who probably wouldn't know the truth if it bit him in the ass. So it's, you know, it was a really difficult situation for Trump on that front, trying to deal with both of those things at once. And I don't think anything was accomplished. I think the Republicans have something to be ashamed of when they say, oh, 99.9% of what this guy said was a lie, but he said no Russian collusion. We can believe that. No, that's not how that works. And at the end of the day, I don't need Michael Cohen to tell me that he wasn't in Prague in order for me to prove that the Steele dossier that was largely based on his presence in Prague negotiating back channels with Russia. I can prove that through his passport. I don't need him to say it on the record in front of Congress. So that 1% of truth that the Republicans are clinging to is irrelevant. So they should have just mainlined this whole thing as this guy's a liar. We can't take anything he says seriously. And, you know, hopefully that's how the public sees it.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I have nothing left to add. I will say this. The Cohen testimony is one of the most entertaining things I've ever. Law and Order, eat your heart out.
Well, all of these have been great. Like even the Comey hearings, like people are going to bars and like just chilling and watching these things. I'm almost pretty much in line. As soon as I see it's live, I just queue it up and then I'm lost for 2-3 hours, whatever it is. So they're fun. We'll get more of them, I'm sure.
Yeah. I know you probably stay on this more than I have, especially today, because I've just been running around like crazy. But the tweets that I've seen from AOC's panel at South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah. They're ridiculous.
They've been out of like.
I saw Bill Nye made an appearance. So we've got the two world's foremost climate experts together in one spot there. That's a tremendous thing for all of humanity, I'm sure.
Oh, man. I got to go watch this as soon as we're done recording, because the tweets alone just got me interested. But it's been an entertaining South by Southwest in general. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to hearing back everything she had to say. Multiple minutes in a live mic with AOC is not a good recipe for her long term success. So I'm cool with all of it.
The thing with AOC, here's the thing, because I'm not an AOC hater, and I can understand, you know, I mean, you're on the opposite side of the political spectrum from AOC. So I understand that. But I think a lot of what she says are good headlines, good things to retweet, good catchphrases. But for me personally, I find, not all the time, but most of the time, the substance of what she's saying, besides some good headlines, really is just, it's all over the fucking place, to just be quite honest.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, there's a lot of, she's pulling stuff out of her ass. And you know, I like to pretend that I'm super educated and all this stuff. If I ran for Congress tomorrow and got dropped into the House of Representatives, I'd have a hard time getting through certain issues if I was really pushed on them. The problem with her is that her issues are environmentalism and corrupt money in politics. And as of right now, she is a hypocrite on both fronts. So, I mean, from what I can tell with some of the stories that are going around, as far as her carbon footprint in particular, her living so much higher on the hog than she claims that the rest of us should, basically. And then in addition to what's going on with her campaign, potentially funneling money into private organizations and some of that money ending up in the pocket of her boyfriend. All of this sort of, like, if those are going to be your issues, you better damn sure make sure that the closet's clean before you start running your mouth about them. And that's obviously not what happened here.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that I've got my flack for, because I'm not someone who's blindly going to be Democrat at all. Like, I call Democrats out all the time, even though I guess I'm voting for whoever makes the most fucking sense to me. And what makes sense to that aligns with my ideals, what matters to me, and I'm not afraid to call anything out as bullshit. And this whole shit, I've been toting this thing since the fucking midterms. It's like, being blindly Democratic is just as bad as being blindly Republican, especially for people who don't really know what the fuck is going on. Like, there's so many people who will. I had a conversation with someone one day, Bello, and this almost made me pull my beard hair out. And they commented on something I said. I don't even remember exactly what it was. Something I said politically on one of the episodes, and it was about, you know, don't bitch. Like, if you voting is your right. If you choose not to vote, that's fine. But I had said something like, well, you can't bitch at all about what anybody does if you choose not to vote.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
That's my opinion. And that we end up having a conversation in the DMs back and forth, and they were like, well, I just think that, you know, I can't get with Trump because XYZ. I was like, okay, all right, that's fine. I if that's your opinion, that's fine. And I was like, are you Democratic or Republican? She was like, I'm Democratic. I'm a Democrat. I said, why? And
crickets.
I didn't get a response back for 20 minutes. And then the only response was, well, I'm Democratic because I think that they're for me. I said, well, what do Democrats do that are blindly just for you? Since you threw that blanket on the whole party. You threw that on the whole party, because there's some shitbag ass Democrats too. And I said,
they're not for her aunt, not for her cousin, for her. Not just her.
And so, and then I said, I really think what you did is you went and wikied what political party Obama was, and you just said that's what you are. Never heard back. Didn't say anything back to me at all.
Damn, that's the truth hurts sometimes, man. I mean, that's what it comes down. Oh yeah, I mean, there is a lot of what I'm referring to now is the passionately stupid out there, and then it's just not this necessarily this person you were talking about, but just a lot of people out there. I mean, look, I don't like being made to look a fool. So when I come out on my Twitter and I have a bold political statement to be made, I usually have some facts and data to back it up. So, you know, to just go out there and say willy-nilly things like, I don't even know. I don't want to even throw blankets over so many. It's not even just Democrats. It's Republicans as well. But you just get like these ridiculous pie in the sky statements like everyone should have health care. OK, that's great. Who's going to pay for it? Oh, you're a monster. How dare you ask what it's going to cost? You know, like these kinds of conversations. This is why people get elected, to have specific roles in these processes, and that we should be paying a lot more close attention to the people that we are electing in hopes that they'll make the right kinds of decisions, as opposed to just going blue or red. Now, obviously, it's hard for me to bitch about this because I'm as red as it gets. But I'm red not because I woke up one day and somebody said, hey, be a Republican. Like, I weighed the two parties. I'm looking at the value set, and mine more clearly and pretty much unanimously lines up with, you know, what the Republican Party is offering. Not that I'm proud of all of my Republicans, because God knows there's a lot of just little goobers in there that are just somehow getting elected in these, you know, flyover states, and they do little to nothing to help the president's agenda, and I'm not all that pleased about it.
I still love Uncle Bernie, though.
I love Uncle Bernie, too.
I really do. Like, I love Bernie Sanders. I'm sorry. Like,
there's something about the guy that you just got to give credit to. I mean, he's sticking around. Like, he's yeah, going to be like damn near 80, and he's going to be trying to run for president again in a field where there's like 100 other people he's going up against. Yeah. He's the old rich white Jewish guy in the party that hates old rich white Jewish guys. It's not a good, it's a very uphill battle for him.
Yeah. Let's go ahead. We're going to take a break. You're going to hear a commercial from one of the Breaks Media podcasts. On the other side of that, we're going to step away from politics. We're going to get into Marvel and Captain Marvel talk. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. See you guys after this break.
Welcome to Technical File, the sports podcast you never knew you needed.
It's your boy, T-I-M-K-I-N-Z, the number 3, a.k.a. Go-Go Power Ranger. Yeah, this is the Black Ranger. It's me, a.k.a. Mr. Give It To Me. It's Ash Ketchum in his bed.
I am the Eric J.
Only known as
the Eric J.
And I'm Camille, point guard of the crew, the real-life Tifa Lockhart, the girl next door. You know, holding it down for all the women who love sports.
And it's your boy, K Harris, the gentleman.
The gentleman.
Also known as K Diddy.
Take that.
But better known as the people's
jabroni.
And that's us. I mean, we four friends coming together every week to talk about the biggest stories in sports with our own flair to it. Let me tell you, you ain't never heard a sports podcast that's entertaining before.
Damn straight.
So check us out every Wednesday. Get at us.
So, Skrulls are the bad guys. And you're a Kree, a race of noble warriors.
Heroes. Noble warrior heroes.
Your life began the day it nearly ended. We found you. With no memory, we made you one of us. So you could live longer, stronger, superior. You were reborn.
I keep having these memories. Something in my past is the key to all of this.
You know how to fly this thing?
We'll see.
That's a yes or no question.
Yes.
All right, Bello. So I we're probably done pissing off a lot of people discussing politics.
Yeah. We should have probably started with the Marvel stuff.
You know what? Now that you say that, I may edit it and flip-flop this conversation.
That's fine. I'll try not to say anything to allude to one or the other so that we don't have any editing continuity issues.
I don't think people really pay attention. they're just there for the conversation. But Captain Marvel came out this weekend. Long anticipated movie. I think they didn't really have to market it this much. I think the biggest and the best marketing they did was put that symbol at the end of Infinity War. That's just my personal opinion. Because I don't think the marketing captured this movie a lot. Like, I went into this honestly thinking this would be my least favorite Marvel movie. And I came out of it. It's not one of my favorites. It's a very good Marvel movie, but it's a lot more fun than what the trailers made me think. What was your just short opinion on it before we get into the details?
No, I'm sort of with you. I mean, I had kind of my predispositions to the movie, obviously, and considering some of the things that Brie Larson came out and said. Now, a lot of it was taken out of context. Having said that, could have been worded a little bit better. Just saying, Miss Larson. And then they watched the actual commercials themselves, and it seemed like this was just going to be a love letter to feminism, and it's not my particular favorite topic in the world, so I was kind of down on the whole idea of the movie going into it, much like yourself. I figured this was going to be something I was going to enjoy the least, and at the end of the day, the movie wasn't anything like the super pro-feminist agenda movie that I expected it to be. I thought Carol was cute and funny, and I think that's really what they wanted her to be at the end of the day, and I'm interested to see how she fits into the bigger pantheon. And I thought the movie stood by itself. It might have tried to do a little too much in a very short period of time, but that's, you know, I'm getting nitpicky. Ultimately, like within the MCU, I thought it was middle of the road, which still makes it a pretty damn good movie in my opinion.
Yeah, I think this is one of the first times with the Marvel movie that I think they try to connect it to, like, the Tesseract being there. It really doesn't fit when you think about what we've seen in the Marvel movies.
Yeah, I was curious as to how Dr. Larson got the Tesseract, because we know Howard Stark found it back in the 40s, and it's been under S.H.I.E.L.D., Project Pegasus, whatever. I can understand how maybe she had access to it, but why was she able to take it up on her Kree secret base up in the sky? Like that seemed a little bit like I need a little bit more explanation as to how that came about. But I did like that. I liked that the Space Stone was involved here. I liked how Goose obviously became a carrying case for it at one point or another. And I'm interested to see if it plays into Endgame in the way that I think it will, because there are some theories going around out there that they are going to potentially be copying the Infinity Stones and that they might use Carol kind of as the baseline for her signature. Because at one point, who is it? Talos says, "We noticed your energy signature matched that of the stone or of the core." So they're probably going to do some sort of thing where they read Carol and they can copy the Space Stone, and then they try to do that with the other stones. So I thought that was all very well laid out in this movie. I'll give them the continuity credit on that one.
Yeah, and then Talos was fucking hilarious.
Thought he was good too.
Like and the thing is, I think when you see the Skrulls, again, that was a misdirect, which I get that one. That's a huge plot point. But you expect the Skrulls to be this like terrifying thing. And he's literally, they set it up in the first scene with him. He's cracking jokes from the get-go. And he's a great character. I wouldn't mind seeing him come back. But it's with the movie itself, I think that they set up Carol very well. I like how they did the whole memory thing. I like almost everything they did with her as a character personally. I think that this is one of those times to where they changed the comics a lot, but I love the way they had to change it to make it fit their narrative and where they were going. I think that this would have been a completely different movie if it didn't come right before Endgame and however they plan to use her there, which we'll talk about in a minute. Overall, I really enjoyed the movie. The way that Nick Fury lost his eye, I fucking love it, because the whole thing, it's classified. I can't talk about it. I won't confirm or deny. He just doesn't want to tell. The cat scratched out his fucking eye. Like, that's hilarious.
I'm just really hoping that we get like a scene in Endgame where him and T'Challa are like side by side, and he's like, "I got a thing against cats." Like, you know, some little quip where he's got some issue with cats. But people had kind of theorized that was going to be potentially how he lost his eye for a little while on Reddit and in other circles. And people were kind of looking back throughout the pantheon of all the Marvel movies to see if there's any hint about Fury being a little jumpy around cats. And strangely enough, he had never come in contact with a cat in all of the Marvel movies except for this one. So I thought that was a really cool thing as well. We all were kind of looking forward to seeing how Fury lost the eye. We figured it was coming in that movie, and damn it, Goose, damn it.
Yeah. And I think too that it's the Marvel and their technology, they're just going back in time and getting younger versions of these people. There's no way in hell that this is CGI. Him and Coulson, Samuel Jackson and Coulson, no, they went back in time. They actually built a time machine and they pulled these motherfuckers back. That has to be what it is.
Yeah, I mean, short a little facial hair, it looked no different than, like, Pulp Fiction Samuel L. Jackson. Like, I mean, you couldn't have told the difference, honestly. It was sort of weird seeing that because it wasn't something that I was thinking about as the movie was going on. But then as soon as it ended and I was, like, running home to go watch another Marvel movie to kind of keep the flow going from in my head, I was like, wow, he's really aged. Like, you're seeing them side by side. It's crazy.
Yeah, but overall, like I said, it's a solid Marvel movie. I think that it sets the character up for whatever they do with her in Endgame. But let's talk about that. What you mentioned the theory. What do you think Captain Marvel's role in Avengers Endgame is going to be?
I think her role is going to be more or less kind of what I laid out there, and that she's going to show up at the Avengers facility, or like we see at the end of the post credits. That'll be a scene right out of the movie, probably very early on, if not before the opening credits. And she will show up and they will make some sort of connection between her and the Space Stone. And that's how they'll come up with the, I mean, basically she is a copy of the Space Stone. I mean, the core itself was a copy of the Space Stone. So we know that it's possible to replicate these things, at least in some form. So they'll try to
and
do
Red
the same
Skull
thing.
Did it too. He copied the energy signal too for his weapons that he had in the original Captain America movie. So it's definitely possible.
Yeah. So they'll do something along those lines. And that to me makes a lot more sense because time travel, going back and grabbing them, like there's a whole butterfly effect thing that goes on there. And I was worried. I mean, to me, if they went back in time and even claimed one of the stones, it should undo the snap because he needed all six to do the snap in the first place. So like, even if you were to claim one of them, it should be enough to at least reverse that much of the damage that was done. So with them having to physically copy them, we're going to see somebody wielding the gauntlet versus Thanos wielding the gauntlet. I'm really worried, you know, that it could very well be Captain Marvel in that spot. And that to me would be kind of a shame and sort of dumping on the first 12 years of the MCU and that, hey, none of this mattered until this chick came along and she's kind of cute and kind of funny, but she's way overpowered and she's going to make all of those other heroes that you've known to grow and love completely useless.
I'm envisioning a fight scene between Thanos and Captain Marvel and Thor are kicking Thanos's ass, distracting him while Cap and Iron Man do something else. Because before Captain Marvel, I think as far as the good guys, Thor is now the most powerful.
Yes.
Protagonist we have after he got Stormbreaker. So now adding Captain Marvel to that, I think those two can definitely throw a fight enough with Thanos to distract him while everyone else does their thing and they're maneuvering. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think that for anyone, I left Avengers Infinity War thinking, okay, Captain Marvel's going to come. She's going to be able to stand toe-to-toe with Thanos. I think this movie takes that away because if she's just a copy of one of the Infinity Gems, Thanos still has all of them. So she's not going to be able to stand toe-to-toe with him, I don't think.
Yeah, there was actually a running theory online. Actually, there's kind of like this supposed kind of combustion going on within Marvel Studios as far as how much she's actually going to be involved. Or they actually just said this week, I think, that the final cut is done. They're just doing the editing for the 3D and the sound and all that kind of stuff. But there were up till the last minute kind of decisions being made about how much Carol would be involved in the ultimate defeat of Thanos. Some people wanted her in both Avengers movies. They wanted to try to put her in Infinity War as well. Yeah. And then some people didn't even want her at all until after the Endgame movie. So they kind of split the difference. They did her solo film. She's going to be in Endgame. There are some rumors to suggest that maybe early on in the movie, she tries to take on Thanos by herself. And Thanos, using the gauntlet, somehow actually knocks her down a peg or two as far as her power levels. And that kind of brings her back down to Thor, Wanda levels of power where it's reasonable and she's not completely outshining everybody else. I'd like to see her be used as somebody important to the ultimate victory, but not like necessarily like in a way that they couldn't have done it without her. I want her to be significant, but not to the point to where it washes out the importance of Thor and Cap and Iron Man. So there's a theory and another theory going around that Hawkeye Ronin is in Japan trying to get chunks of Mjolnir, which apparently the Yakuza came across in Norway and are trying to use for their own weaponry, and that they actually get the old pieces of Mjolnir to make a new gauntlet here on Earth, and they don't actually need to go to Nidavellir to do it because Captain Marvel would have enough juice to melt the Uru and make the weapon ultimately. So that would be something I'd really like to see her as far as being so crucial to the process without being the one that necessarily delivers the fatal blow.
Yeah. I'm still holding on to my theory that my Cancerverse theory, or a version of it, it's going to be Cap, Thanos getting trapped somewhere together, maybe fighting for all eternity. Who the fuck knows?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine that, like, somehow Cap gets imbued with some other powers and he can go toe-to-toe with Thanos. I think either way, Cap's dying. Like, he's either dying or getting sealed off some way. I think that has to be how it ends. So.
Yeah, I'm sort of worried about Cap. I mean, I've heard a couple different theories, but the big one seems to be that, like, he'll sacrifice himself for the Soul Stone in some way, shape, or form. Oh, man, that's going to be I'm going to be a crying mess by the time he hits the ground. I mean, yeah. Seriously, it's going to be real rough. I actually have my own theory. I think Natasha would be the one who would sacrifice herself if they needed to sacrifice somebody for the Soul Stone, because she's got all this red in her ledger that she's trying to get rid of. You know, that's been her angle since the beginning, is that she's been trying to make up for all of her misdeeds. And also, I could see a scene where it's her and Banner standing on that cliff in the same way that it was her and Banner standing on that cliff in Age of Ultron. And, you know, she kisses him and pushes him off, and then the Hulk comes up. In this case, you know, she would kiss him and push off of him and fall herself, and he would get the Soul Stone. So I could see that kind of parallel, them using that kind of as you know, continuity, if you will.
I like that. But the only thing that would make me think it won't be Natasha's, because she has her solo movie coming up.
Yes.
So, but...
But I mean, it's a prequel, right? It's supposed to be going way back into her history, so I guess we wouldn't need her around. She could always be a Skrull. We don't know.
Good point. So, I mean, overall review, Captain Marvel, what are you giving it, man?
I mean, I give it, like, I don't know if we were doing, like, letter grades. I give it, like, a BB+. It was in that neck of the woods. It was in the upper middle range of the MCU. I kind of put it akin to, like, Doctor Strange, Guardians 2, Black Panther, and that neck of the woods, where it's not necessarily like the top shelf movies, at least in my opinion, but it's kind of in that next section down.
Yeah, I think I put it up there. Like, it's in that same realm as the Thor 3, because I love Thor, Ragnarok. But it's not in that top tier. And I think it's like, it's better than almost any of the Phase 1 films, in my opinion.
Yeah. Iron Man. Probably,
yeah, that's the gold standard in that phase. So it's a solid movie, man. I can't hate on it completely, but you almost have to see it though, because otherwise you're just getting this random chick showing up beating somebody's ass in Endgame. So
yes, yeah, so it's definitely necessary. Plus, because where they are in history, like I mean, I guess at this point we've given away enough spoilers, but like it's crucial to the Avengers initiative in and of itself. True. Is all based off of her. So like there is that whole aspect of it. And there's a couple of little hints here and there when she says to Dr. Lawson in that memory that they keep rewinding, and she says, "I like the view from up there." I think that might be setting up her position at Alpha Flight eventually, if they wanted to set that up in the MCU with her up on the base floating above Earth, being the first line of defense kind of deal. Yeah. So that might be something that they want to go longer term. And those are kind of little Easter eggs, or I guess little breadcrumbs for what they might have in the future.
Well, there you go. So we're going to go into the next thing. But before we get into that, I know we're going to get into what X-Men or Fantastic Four character we think is going to appear first. I want to say this. I think mutants in general. So we've seen Infinity Stones create the twins with Wanda and Quicksilver. Now Captain Marvel. I believe even the Arc Reactor was Howard Stark trying to copy the Tesseract. So I want to say that, like, when maybe Endgame ends with all the stones being destroyed and that energy spreads throughout the world, and that's how we get mutants.
Yeah, that's a high possibility. I could see that being one of the routes. I don't think this is the route they'll go, but the one of my favorite theories is that this whole time the mutants have been among us. Yeah. And that Professor X has been using Cerebro to block out the whole memory of mutants from the rest of society, so that we're not chasing them down in the way that we always are and persecuting them because they're different from us, and that he's just using Cerebro to keep the whole idea of mutants out of all of our heads.
I like that. I like it. But I still, like, if they go that route, there's no way Magneto's just been sitting back, not doing shit.
That's true as well. Yeah. What's the deal with Magneto and you know, any number of other characters that probably would go, you know, go rogue, not to suggest rogue exactly. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely other mutants that would have made a problem for all of us. But hey, who knows? Maybe Professor X is just making us, you know, forget about it as soon as it happens.
True. I mean, the way that they retcon Skrulls in that S.H.I.E.L.D.'s known about him, who's to say that S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't have Magneto locked up somewhere?
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see, you know, where some of the Skrulls and all that kind of stuff pop up. But I do think that the mutants are, like you said, going to be connected to the Infinity Stones in some way.
Yeah, crazy. All right. So last topic for today, which X-Men or Fantastic Four character appears in the MCU first and how? A great question. People, I did not come up with this one. This is one Bello did come up with. So I'm gonna have you answer it first. Who do you think?
All right. I've got two, but they come in the same movie. I'll kind of paint it all together here. So if I had my druthers, in Black Panther 2, it would be a story very much focused on the war, the ever-ending war going between Atlantis and Wakanda. And that would lead to the first mutant, Namor, coming up, the Submariner, basically being the first one. And the movie would basically be kind of set like your typical X versus Y superhero movie, where it starts off like a battle between Wakanda and Atlantis. We kind of paint the picture of Atlantis. And then ultimately, we discover there's a greater villain that's really manipulating all this, and they have to work together to defeat them. And the deal is brokered by Storm, who would come into Wakanda. You know, maybe she has already a history built in there, and they just kind of say welcome back. And then she kind of brokers the peace treaty between Namor and T'Challa, and the two of them, you know, to battle whatever evil villain is causing all of this ruckus.
Okay, I like that. I like that one. My idea is, I think the easiest way is Reed Richards, not even saying the whole Fantastic Four, but you can easily have him as someone, maybe he's researching the quantum realm. Now that that's going to be a thing, that's probably more information is going to be out there, and he's researching it. At the end of a movie, he just appears as a scientist or whatever. At the end of the movie, you see he's getting ready to go on an exploration. He thinks he's going to the quantum realm. He gets his family involved. Movie starts off. They come back. They have their powers. I think that makes.
Yeah, especially with Janet Van Dyne having some powers coming back out of the quantum world. That makes a lot of sense for how they'd set them up in particular. I like that. I like that a lot. I mean, I think at the end of it, mine's probably a little ambitious. Like, we're probably going to get one of them in an end credit scene, and that'll be the first real appearance. So, I mean, Reed Richards doing something like that. Deadpool, obviously, just, oh, hey there. You know, like one of those kind of deals. That would just be too easy almost. And then I could see Doom or Silver Surfer being like, you know, just the movie ends and we just see the Surfer going flying off, or we see Doom doing something, you know. So there's a lot of obviously really cool possibilities. I'm just super sad that they're going to recast everybody, like everybody.
I mean,
Fantastic Jackman, man.
Yeah, I know. that's been one of my dream things, is like, because Captain America and Logan Wolverine have had history, like they melt in World War II. I always, to see Hugh Jackman and Chris Evans together was always something that I would love to see, those two characters. And it seems like either way, that's not going to happen. Like, for all intents and purposes, it looks like Chris Evans is going to be done as Captain America. Mm-hmm. Hugh Jackman is done. If anyone is holding on to any hopes, that man is done with Wolverine. You can tell by the way he talks about it.
Yeah. As soon as they, him and Ryan Reynolds kind of patch things up, quote unquote, on social media not that long ago, I was like, this is their way of telling us it's not going to happen, guys. And I was like, just so sad about it. But Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. Hopefully fits his way in there. We can make a bunch of jokes about Hugh Jackman, kind of fourth wall breaks and stuff like that. It'll be the closest that we get to him being in the MCU. But My issue with X-Men and Fantastic Four might not be as big of an issue, but with the X-Men, there's so many characters and there's so few actors out there left that haven't already been in these kinds of movies. It's really going to be hard to, they're talking about setting up Avengers versus X-Men. It's kind of like the next big, you know, multi-hero movie that they set up somewhere down the road. And I can't imagine even the best case scenario for X-Men casting them lining up and looking legit against the existing Avengers cast. So, I mean, hey, they're MCU. The Marvel Studios has done a great job. I got no real reason to doubt them. They even pleasantly surprised me with Captain Marvel. But yeah, I'm nervous. I'm nervous for the MCU jumping the shark. I thought it was coming with Captain Marvel. We might be a few movies away, but I'm still worried.
I mean, as long as Kevin Feige's involved, I'm almost not worried about them jumping the shark at all. I mean, that may come back to bite me in the ass, but I just don't have that concern. But I think that with the X-Men, I really hope that they go the young route. Like, and it sucks because I know that that's what First Class and everything's been. Yeah. I kind of hope they go that route and find new actors that can grow and that can play those characters for 3, 4, 5 movies, and they can actually, we can attach ourselves to them. I mean, that's not promised either. But like you said, I mean, when you look at the first set of X-Men, this X-Men, people who've been in DC movies, Marvel movies, there's really not that much left to pick from.
No, there really isn't. And I mean, and you, like you said, basically have to sign up people that you think will be not only around, but relevant for 3, 4, 5 movies, you know, potentially. So that's a crapshoot. It's really hard to pick those people out, especially young actors out there who don't really have a ton of track record. It's going to be an interesting, you know, move. Hopefully they can kind of dip their toe into it. And I think with the Fantastic Four, I'm kind of hoping that they go a little older. I don't know about you. Oh,
yeah, Fantastic Four, definitely.
I got my fingers crossed for John Cena as the Thing.
You know what? Honestly, and people will, of course, hear that he's a wrestler, he would be perfect for that.
Drax, man. Drax has been killing it in the MCU for years, and it looks like he's probably done with them. He might not get unsnapped. That wouldn't that be funny? They're just like, yeah, we have no idea why Drax didn't get unsnapped. It was just, he's the only one.
Are they? I mean, he's under so much. What if they just recast him? I mean,
they could.
Yeah,
I guess so.
I mean, I don't think anyone can hit that comedic timing like he does, but they can always try to recast him. But yeah, that sucks. You just got me sad now thinking about the fact that he seems like he's going to be done after they film Guardians 3. Like, he's not renewing that contract at all. There's reports he may get cast in Suicide Squad, James Gunn's new movie. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, him and Idris Elba. Idris, you're better than this, bro. Don't do it. Don't do it. Dude's going to be Bond. He's Heimdall. And now he's going to be whatever, Will Smith.
It's going to be interesting to watch, but we'll see. Anything left with MCU, man, before you say goodnight?
I mean, we can probably do this all day, I could do this all day. There you go. That's a good way to end it, I guess. But no, nothing more on Marvel, at least not for the time being. Endgame's coming out. What? We got like 6 weeks. Who'd have thunk, man? A year ago, we were sitting around going, we got a year. Now we only got 6 weeks.
I can't wait, man. I can't wait. You know what? I know we're getting Shazam in a month, too. I'm actually kind of looking forward. Aquaman pleasantly surprised me. I know this is a completely different universe, but I'm looking forward to Shazam.
Yeah, Shazam should be interesting. Have you been watching Doom Patrol?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Doom Patrol's pretty lit. I'm pretty into that. Titans was awesome, and this kind of picked right up where they left off there. I'm digging the new Cyborg.
Yeah, me too. So, Doom Patrol is really good, and it's better than I thought, because when they appeared in Titans, I was like, this shit. But it's been a lot better.
That was kind of what I thought too. But the narrator's keeping me hooked. The bad guy / narrator, I guess. Yeah. So that's an interesting spin in and of itself.
Well, all right, Bello, man. Tell the people where they can find you.
Well, I got more places where you could find me than usual. So you could find me for all my Marvel, pro wrestling, and generally lighthearted things at Bello Being Bello. And then should you dare dip into the political realm, you can find me at Cancel This Pod. And then, like I mentioned before, cancelthispodcast.podbean.com and Cancel This on iTunes. Just type that into your search bar and you'll find me. And Godspeed, if you will.
Well, there it is, people. You guys already know where you can find me. We're out.
Peace.
All right. That was this week's show. That's episode 92 of The Awakened Soul in the bank. You can go ahead and follow the podcast at Awakened Soul Pod. You can also send us a voicemail or text. That is 614-547-2039. Email us as well, theawakensoulpod@gmail.com. Make sure you go to thebreaksmedianetwork.com. Check out all the lovely podcasts, YouTube shows, blogs, everything that we have there as well. Still working on the forums for that website. So just be there. The Breaks Media is where you guys want to be in 2019. I promise you that. But this is CEO Hayes. I'm signing off for this week. I will catch you beautiful and lovely people for episode 93 next week. We're going right into episode 100, which is coming in mid-May. I can't wait to get into episode 100. I got some big, big, big stuff planned for episode 100. So that's it. Enough teasing. I will see you guys next week. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Breaks Media.